Good to see us to be able to get together this evening to worship God. I'm going to look at Revelation chapter 22 for a moment. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 8. And John is at the end of all of the visions that he has seen. And now God is revealing himself to him. And an angel has been standing by him through most of these visions that he has been allowed to see. In verse chapter 22, in verse 8, it says, "And I, John, am he that heard and saw these things. And when I heard, I saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel that showed me these things. And he said unto me, See, you do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brethren the prophets, and with them that keep the words of this book. Worship God." Now, John, of course, I'm sure he was kind of overcome with what was going on, being a finite human being, and an angel had come down and been with him off and on all through the book of Revelation. And it would be only natural for a finite human being in the presence of a heavenly being like an angel, he might fall down and worship him. Well, this is actually about the third time in the book of Revelation that the angel had to tell John, "No, don't bow down to me. You worship God." And so he said, in fact, the angel said, "I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brethren, the prophets." In other words, angels are higher on a higher level than us, but they're not to be worshipped. As the angel said to John, I'm just a servant like you are. Now he's in a different realm, in a spiritual realm, and we're in the physical realm, but we're not to worship the angels. And there are people, of course, in the world that teach that we are to worship angels and certain other people that have gone on before. But the angel told John to worship God very plainly and very simply. He said, "Worship God." He didn't want any question about it, about whether to worship him or not. And he was not the mediator. He was not God. He says, "Don't worship me." But the church itself exists in part to praise and to worship and honor the name of God. In fact, all we do is supposed to ultimately be an honor to God. And yet, all that we do is not worship. There are those in the world who believe that and say that everything we do as a Christian is somehow worship to God. Well, it's not. Worship is a very specific kind of thing than where we in physically or spiritually bow before God and offer praise and glory and honor to Him. That's what worship is to be. And in fact, you go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. It says, "Day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread at home, and they took their food with gladness and singleness of heart." Okay, this is the rejoicing of the church after the day of Pentecost for a period of time. We don't know exactly how long that was, but anyway, this is a period of time after the gospel was preached and became children of God, became part of the church, the body of Christ. And then in verse 47, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now notice what they continued in. Praising God and have favor with all the people. And then the Lord added to them every day. Now go back also to chapter 2 and verse 42. It says they continued steadfastly. Now notice steadfastly. They didn't just do this occasionally. This is a way of life for them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, in fellowship, and breaking of bread, and prayers. The breaking of bread, partaking of the Lord's Supper, and also the prayers, was part of their worship to God. If you look at the idea in breaking the bread, when the definite article, "the," is used with that, it means partaking of the Lord's Supper. Now, over in Acts chapter 20, they broke bread as part of their worship, but later on it says they broke bread, but it's not the bread, it's just breaking bread as a meal they ate after they had worshiped God. So sometimes we have to make that kind of distinction. But it's a challenge for us to worship God in an acceptable manner. And we have to be reminded sometime, acceptable worship is conditioned upon worshiping according to the will of God. If you look over in Matthew chapter 7, and in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So our worship has to be acceptable to God in a way that God prescribes in his word if it's going to be right with him. So doing what God expects of us in the way that he said to do it is a requirement of us to be acceptable in his sight. And there's many people who have the idea, well, we can leave this part of worship out, or we can add something else that we like to worship, and it's going to be pleasing to God. Well, that's not what the Bible tells us. We have to be willing to submit to his will, not the other way around. It's just as important that we worship with appropriate reverence. And reverence, of course, means proper respect. And the term awe is sometimes used. In Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 28, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, he says, "Therefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may offer up service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe." Reverence is proper respect, in a sense, bowing before God, either physically or spiritually, and also with awe, with an awe, being awestruck with the idea of who God is. He is our creator. He's not just the creator of you and me as human beings, but the entire universe in which we live. God is the creator. And we need to keep that in mind when we realize the majesty of God and we want to worship him. So he says, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. And then verse 29 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." In other words, there's a warning there in verse 29 that we need to worship God properly, with proper respect, proper reverence, and then bow to him in everything that we do, especially when we come together to worship. It is always expected that God's creatures show appropriate reverence toward him because he is our all-powerful creator. He is our God, the one who blesses us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, Solomon says, "This is the end of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And so we have to be willing to submit all things that we are to God and to his will. Now turn back just for a moment to the Old Testament, to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 3. It says, "And Moses said to Aaron, 'This is it that the Lord spoke, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me. Before all the people I will be glorified.' And Aaron held his peace." In other words, God said, God is going to be glorified in all things. Now, the context of that particular passage where he said that this is that the Lord has spoke, saying, "I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me before all the people. I will be glorified." The context of Leviticus chapter 10 is when Nadab and Abihu, the two sons of Aaron, were going to take the fire in for the burning of incense in the tabernacle. And the Bible says they offered strange fire. In other words, they didn't get it from the source that God required, which is the altar of burnt offering. I figured fire was fire, and so they just used what they wanted. And God struck them dead from the fire because they did not give honor to God and did not follow what he had commanded. And so it's especially the case when we assemble together in His worship that we study, we worship accordingly with our heart, our mind, our soul, our willingness to serve and to fall down before Him, if not physically, certainly spiritually. When we worship, we stand in a sense on holy ground in the presence of God's people and before God Himself. He is, as the Bible says, the great I Am from Exodus chapter 3. When Moses was at the burning bush in the wilderness and he saw the burning bush there and it wasn't being burned up, and he thought, I'll go and see what this is. And he went over there and God said, take your shoes off. The place for you is holy ground. It wasn't holy ground because it was in a particular place. It was holy ground because God was there. And so we think about that, Moses and the burning bush. And it didn't burn up because God's presence was there with it and God was in the authority there. And of course, He's the one that told Moses, I have chosen you to go and lead my people out of bondage in Israel. And so the burning bush, Moses properly worshiped God. Even at first, he did not understand who it was that was there. Moses had never seen a vision from God, as far as we know, but God appeared to him in that way. And the Lord spoke to His servant. He reminded him that he stood in God's presence, and that was holy ground. And so in a sense, when we're worshiping God, we're standing on holy ground like Moses before, because God is with us when we are worshiping Him. He has promised that. Moses, of course, was filled with awe. He hid his face and was afraid. Now, turn back to Exodus chapter 3 just for a moment. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, Moses said, I will turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, I am here. And he said, draw not nigh hither and put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground. It was holy because God was there in His presence. We have to keep foremost in our hearts and our minds when we worship God that we are sort of like Moses himself when he was there. Now, we don't have a burning bush sitting in front of us, but God promised if we're worshiping Him that He's going to be there with us. And we need to keep that in mind in our approach to God, to realize that God is with us. Christ is with us also. When we, for example, partake of the Lord's Supper, Jesus promised to His disciples on the night that He instituted the Lord's Supper, He told them, He says, I will not drink this with you again until I drink it new with you in the kingdom. Well, the kingdom, the church, was established on the day of Pentecost. So when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are communing with each other, with our brothers and sisters all over the world, but also with Christ Himself. He communes with us, and we need to understand that. So what should we do in our proper worship of God with reverence and awe? Well, first of all, we need to show proper respect by coming before Him in silence. I'm not talking about total silence, because we pray, we preach, we sing songs to God. With a proper respect and silence of who God is, and that through His Word He is speaking to us today. In Psalms chapter 46 and verse 10, the psalmist David there said, be still and know that I am God. That's what God was speaking to David and to us through him. He says, be still and know that I am God. So a lot of the pagan worship of the time and a lot of worship today is not being still and coming before God with a respect and a reverence, but it's a lot of loud noises and all kinds of things that man has made up for himself rather than true worship of God. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20, a similar idea is brought there. He says, the Lord is in His holy temple. let all the earth keep silence before him. I've often wondered what we will be like or what we will do when we come into the presence of God. I suspect that we will not be able to speak almost. That's the how overwhelmed we're going to be in the presence of God. Well, we have to have just a little bit of that now in our worship to God. The Lord is in His holy temple. He is always in His holy temple because God is everywhere. And so we worship Him. And when He tells us that He is with us when we worship and serve Him, He is there with us all of the time. So we have to use proper respect. And it says, let all the earth keep silence before Him. In other words, stand in awe of who God is and to worship in that way. We need to focus and have the focus of our worship should be on Almighty God. And sometimes we as human beings, and I'm as guilty of this probably as anybody else, we're worshiping and sometimes we let our mind wander off to something else. We need to try to concentrate on what God is. That's part of our purpose of coming together. And the more we do that, the more we practice at that, the better we can become, just like most of anything else in life. But we have to work at that. It's something we have to put an effort into. Also, we show respect by clearing our minds of all the thoughts except our adoration and praise of God. God deserves to be exalted in our minds, our hearts, our ways, in everything we do. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh unto you. And so God promises if we draw nigh to Him, He's going to draw nigh to us. He's going to be there with us. Now turn over there to James chapter 4 just for a moment. And you go back then to verse 6, James chapter 4. But since he gives more grace, therefore the Scripture says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to us, and we humble ourselves before God and truly worship Him as He requires and wants us to do. Verse 7, be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Many people think that the devil is so powerful, he can just come in and take us over anytime he wants. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. He says there, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have more power than he does, but we have to take advantage of that power. Well, that's what he says then, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will exalt you. We don't need to exalt ourselves in worship. We need to exalt God before us. And like he says in verse 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. But we have to put forth the effort. God is not going to turn His back upon us. If we want to serve Him, we try to follow Him and come closer to Him. We need to show respect by listening to and accepting the instruction of God's Word. Every day we live, we need to be infused in our minds and hearts with God's message and God's Word. We do that by studying, by coming together to study together, by reading the Word of God and worshiping as best we can, to the best ability we have, which falls short of what we ought to be, but God will forgive when we fall short. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 9, God says there to Joshua, He says, come hither and hear the word of Jehovah your God. Joshua was a man that was chosen with almost an impossible task. He had to replace Moses as the leader of the people of Israel. Moses had been their leader for 40 years. He was the greatest man of his time. So Joshua had, like I said, an almost impossible thing put upon him to be the one to replace Moses as the leader of Israel. But God told him over and over again, be strong, be of good courage. you serve and you guide and my people, and I'll be with you. But he says here, come hither and hear the word of the Lord your God. Anytime there was a problem and difficulty, God told Joshua, you come to me. I will direct you. I will be with you. In fact, he told Joshua before they crossed the Jordan River over to the promised land, he said, every place where the sole of your foot sets, I have given it to you. But they still had to go and take it. But God said, as you go, I will give you victory everywhere. The exception, of course, was when one took something he wasn't supposed to take and they lost the next battle. And he had to be put to death because of that. He caused others of the Israelites to be killed because he himself had violated the will of God. But he says, come hither and hear the word of the Lord, Jehovah your God. In other words, not only hear with the ear, but hear with a willingness to believe and to obey and follow. In Psalms chapter 119 and verse 117, he says, hold me up, and I shall be safe, and shall have respect unto the statutes, to your statutes continually. In other words, God says, you be faithful to me, and you follow me, you obey me, you worship and serve as I have commanded. He says, and I'll be with you continually. I'll never, Hebrews chapter 13, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If we are faithful to God, he's not going to turn his back on us. No matter what happens to us in the world, if we're persecuted, if we're even required to give our life for the cause of Christ, he says he will never leave us and never forsake us. So in Psalms 119, verse 117, he says, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. I shall be safe and shall have respect unto thy statutes continually. So David was promising to do that, and God was saying, and in that passage also, I will be with you all the way through. But we have to make the choice. We have to decide we're going to do so. We also have to show respect by appropriate faith and dedication. In Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 7, he says, in that day shall men look unto their Maker, and their eyes shall have respect unto the Holy One of Israel. Now, it's interesting what it says there. In that day, this is looking forward to the day when Christ was going to come. And he says, in that day, men shall look into their Maker, to God, the Father. And it says, and their eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. Well, who is the Holy One of Israel? It was Christ. We know that because in the New Testament, several times that particular idea is brought out about him. And one of the passages, Jesus was casting out demons. And the demons said to Jesus from inside the man that he was inhabiting, he says, we know who you are. You are the Holy One of Israel. And Jesus cast out the demon because it was not right for the demons to proclaim that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was indeed this Holy One. So we have to show respect and faith and dedication. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, he says, let us have grace whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God. We have to offer that kind of service that is indeed well-pleasing to God. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at that particular verse and the verses in front of it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse beginning at verse 25. He says, see that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not when they refused him that warned them on earth, much more shall we not escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will make to tremble not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word yet once more signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those that things that have been made, and those things which are not shaken may remain. In other words, the physical world is going to be destroyed eventually, but the spiritual is going to continue. And that's what he says in verse 28. Therefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The kingdom, the church, the service of God and God's people, it cannot be shaken. It cannot be destroyed. He says, let us have grace, whereby we may offer up service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. God will consume and destroy everything in this universe when this time that we live is over. But we have to worship God properly in the meantime while we have life and while God gives us that life. Our worship should not be a matter of fun or entertainment. Now, if we come here and we're entertained or we enjoy the time together, that's all right. We need to do that sometimes. But that's not the purpose of it. Having fun and being entertained is not the purpose of worship. And many in the world think that that's what the purpose of it is. So I can be entertained and I can have things the way that I want it. But those things are simply a result of properly serving and worshiping God. And if we enjoy it, we have a good time doing so, that's even better for us. But that's not the purpose of it. The purpose is dedication to God first. That reverence should be reflected in our preaching, our teaching, our singing, our praying, our communion, all of those things together. The reason we must worship God with reverence and awe is what verse 29 says. He says it's because our God is a consuming fire. Either we're going to, on the day of judgment, be able to go home with Him for all of eternity, or we're going to be lost eternally. That's the alternatives that we have. There is no middle ground in between. There's no such thing. He is our Lord. He is our Creator. He has the power to kill. He has the power to make alive. And He has the power to wound and to heal, according to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39. We serve the same God that Moses and the people of Israel served in the wilderness and served in Israel when they came there, when the tabernacle was taken in and they conquered the land. So we serve the same God. He is eternal. We always need to have reverence and awe and respect when we worship and serve God. And when we do that, God's going to bless us now and for all of eternity. But we have to make a decision to follow Him every day we live, to believe and to obey the gospel. If you have not done that before, we need to have to do that. And from that day forward, to make a commitment to serve Him in our life. One of the things we do before we are baptized into Christ, we confess Christ as our Lord and Savior. That confession is not just something we say one time, but it's something we continue in throughout our life. A continued confession of our Lord and Savior and our dedication to Him. This evening, if you need to come at the invitation, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.